Hi, I'm Dan Gettleman, executive director of This I Believe. The year is coming to a close, and it's the time of year when people start thinking about making donations to their favorite causes. Well, we would like to encourage you to help support This I Believe, our nonprofit organization, which brings you these free podcasts every week. It's obviously a service that you appreciate because you're listening to this podcast right now. Our costs for keeping up our website, hosting the podcast, maintaining our database is more than $1,000 every month. And we can't do this without your support. We've lost a lot of major funding this year because of the downturn in the economy. And now more than ever, we need the help of our friends to keep this podcast going for another year. So once again, you can make a tax-deductible donation to This I Believe in any amount you want. Can also start a monthly installment plan, giving us $5 or $10 or $15 each month that can be charged to your credit card or debit card. You can get more information on any of these options at thisibelieve.org/support. That's thisibelieve.org/support. And thanks so much for continuing to listen to these podcasts and hopefully for supporting the work of This I Believe.
I believe in the power of love.
I believe that a generation of young people...
I believe it deeply and sincerely.
I believe in the importance of passing this knowledge.
I believe that everyone wants to love
and be loved.
All
of these add up to my belief in the dignity of the individual.
I believe in people.
This I believe.
The Greeks are inescapable. From government to drama to language, the ideas of the ancients still hold sway in the 21st century. And students of the classical period find themselves immersed in a field that mixes culture, history, political science, and literature. This week in our series, This I Believe, Dan Gettleman shares the essay of a classics professor at Swarthmore College named Susan Parker Cobbs. She also served as the Dean of Women and helped lead Swarthmore through the crisis of 1969 when its president died of a heart attack shortly after a sit-in for civil rights.
She probably could have had a very comfortable career as an academic and as a writer. And she ended up deciding instead to basically take on a life of service in academia as an administrator. And based on what I know of recollections from, what do you call them, Swarthmoreans, perhaps, she was an incredibly able and important administrator. And, you know, it's a role that's kind of a thankless job, but it's an important one for any of us who have positive memories of, you know, deans of students that we might have dealt with. It ends up being sort of a jack-of-all-trades job where you end up being sort of the counselor-in-chief and you oversee campus life and you oversee to some degree the academic life of the students under your care. Remember, these are especially at the time that she was working in the, you know, early to mid-20th century, these were fairly sheltered kids that were coming to this school that were growing up before her eyes. And she was, you know, in the best sense of the word, in charge of them, the notion of in loco parentis.
Let's hear the essay of Susan Parker Cobbs.
It has not been easy for me to meet this assignment. We have so many changing and transitory beliefs, besides the ones most central to our lives. I hope that what I say won't sound either too simple or too pious. I know that it is my deep and fixed conviction that man has within him the force of good and the power to translate that force into life. For me, this means a pattern of life that makes personal relationships more important, a pattern that makes more beautiful and attractive the personal virtues, courage, humility, selflessness, and love. I used to smile at my mother because the tears came so readily to her eyes when she heard or read of some incident that called out these virtues. I don't smile anymore because I find I have become more and more responsive in the same inconvenient way to the same kind of story. And so I believe that I both can and must work to achieve the good that is in me. The words of Socrates keep coming back to me. The unexamined life is not worth living. By examination, we can discover what is our good, and we can realize that knowledge of good means its achievement. I know that such self-examination has never been easy. Plato maintained that it was the soul's eternal search, It seems to me particularly difficult now. In a period of such rapid material expansion and such widespread conflicts, black and white have become gray and will not easily separate. There is a belief which follows from this. If I have the potential of the good life within me and the compulsion to express it, then it is a power and a compulsion common to all men. What I must have for myself to conduct my search, all men must have. Freedom of choice. Faith in the power and the beneficent qualities of truth. What frightens me most today is the denial of these rights, because this can only come from the denial of what seems to me the essential nature of man. For if my conviction holds, man is more important than anything he has created, and our great task is to bring back again into a subordinate position the monstrous superstructures of our society. I hope this way of reducing our problems to the human equation is not simply an evasion of them. I don't believe it is. For most of us, it is the only area in which we can work, the human area, with ourselves, with the people we touch, and through these two, by vicarious understanding, with mankind. I watch young people these days wrestling with our mighty problems. They are much more concerned with them than my generation of students ever was. They are deeply aware of the words equality and justice. But in their great desire to right wrong, they are prone to forget that causes are people, that nothing matters more than people. They need to add to their crusades the warmer and more affecting virtues of compassion and love. And here again come those personal virtues that bring tears to the eyes. One further word. I believe that the power of good within us is real and comes there from a source outside and beyond ourselves. Otherwise, I could not put my trust so firmly in it.
Susan Parker Cobbs and her essay for This I Believe. Easy to hear the influence of her studies of the classics. She mentioned Socrates and Plato.
And yet she doesn't fling it around unnecessarily. And, you know, her essay is sort of... I reread it recently, and upon first reading, I kind of missed its depth. And just this morning, I was listening to her read her essay again, and a whole other layer of profundity came out. And this notion that she talks about, obviously informed by her experience of working with students at Swarthmore, that especially at this moment in time, there was so much going on in the world. And this was the first generation of students that she would have dealt with that had come of age completely in the radio era. So they were hearing history before their ears, as it were. Prior to radio, you know, you could comfortably be in your hometown and know little more than whatever was in the local newspaper. But at the time, in the 1950s, I mean, there were these momentous things happening around you. There was the Cold War and the emergence of civil rights, and there were so many things for students to be passionately thinking about. And her point is that behind every cause, there are people, and that you can get passionately involved with a cause, whatever it might be, and trample all over the actual human beings behind that cause. And a lot of what the 20th century showed us was how a cause, however noble, could, in the wrong hands, turn into something ghastly.
She talks about young people wrestling with mighty problems, which not only applied to that time, but foreshadowed events of the 1960s that she had to deal with. She writes about the importance of freedom of choice, faith in the power, and the beneficent qualities of truth.
Right. And again, she keeps bringing it back to the person, to the individual, and that if you behave honorably toward the people around you, and then you can sort of extrapolate upward toward a cause or toward a larger group of people or toward a nation, you're on firm footing. Whereas it's difficult to go backwards. You know, if you are ignoring the relationships around you and instead focusing on things in another continent, perhaps, at the expense of maintaining the relationships around you, that's where problems come from, and based on what she's espousing in her essay. And I think there's immense truth to that.
Susan Parker Cobbs. And next week?
Next week we're going to hear from a decorated, disabled World War II veteran named John Drummy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Dan Gediman is the executive director of This I Believe, Inc. To order the new CD collection, Edward R. Murrow's This I Believe, Volume 2, to read hundreds of essays from the 1950s, or to sign up for a free podcast, go to thisibelieve.org. Special thanks to producer John Gregory and to WFPL in Louisville.
The Bob Edwards Show is produced by Steve Lickteig and Jeffrey Reddick for SiriusXM Satellite Radio. This podcast is a free service of This I Believe, Inc., a nonprofit organization that helps people write and share their most deeply held beliefs. To learn how you can help support this work with your tax-deductible donation, please visit thisibelieve.org/support. For This I Believe, I'm Dan Gediman.